Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy.
Live from Seahawks Training Camp.
On 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Seahawks Training Camp is here, and so are we. Our training camp coverage is presented by Precor Home Fitness and 710 ESPN Seattle. You guys out here at Seahawks Training Camp all week long, getting you guys primed and ready for day one, which starts right now. You're listening to Jake and Stacy. I'm Stacy Ross here with Michael Bumpus, filling in for Jake today. Bump, how are you?
What's up, Stace? I'm all right. How are you doing?
Really excited. So just to give you guys some sights and sounds from the field, fans aren't here yet, but everyone's setting up. The equipment's out. Players are out on the field looking around for Jamal Adams, not going to lie, trying to see if I can see him, but quite a few guys out here just doing basic stuff right now. And Bump, this is a Seahawks team that started out hot last year, hot, and still won the NFC West, but had a very disappointing early exit from the playoffs. So as we look ahead to the Seahawks, who will take the field at 1:30 for practice, by the way, what would you say their biggest plan for improvement was heading into this offseason, and where do you see them right now accomplishing that?
Improvement, you know what it is. Got to keep Russell happy, man. He he threatened the possibility of a trade. So keeping him happy, and how do you do that? You get a new offensive coordinator. You get someone on the offensive line. You got Gabe Jackson there. You give him a new weapon on the outside, maybe in the inside too with tight end Gerald Everett. So that's how you progress off of last year. But then it's just, man, they got to finish strong, right? You said it. You come out hot for 7 weeks, and you kind of fizzle out a little bit. And I was on the Danny Gallant show earlier, talked to Tyler Lockett, and the way he is describing this offense, it makes me believe, Stace, that they're going to be able to just keep ascending throughout the whole season.
Now, I'm kind of assuming the same thing, and I know that a lot of the improvements we're going to want to see, for instance, can the offense adapt? Can they be creative? Those are things we aren't even going to figure out in training camp. We're going to need to see how it progresses over the course of the season. But let's just look at the rosters around the NFC West, in addition to Seattle. How are you seeing the Seahawks stacking up right now against the Cards, the 49ers, the Rams? How about that power structure in the West by itself?
The West is crazy. I mean, you got the Los Angeles Rams, who had one of the best defenses in the league last year. A lot of things have changed over there. They added a veteran quarterback, so you would assume they would improve. You got the Arizona Cardinals. They got A.J. Green came into town, so now they have a nice little duel with Hopkins and A.J. Green. And then the 49ers are just healthy. Last year, they just were not healthy, so I don't think we really saw what the 49ers could be. It's the Wild Wild West. I still think that the Seahawks are the favorite going in just because of DK, Lockett, Russ, Chris Carson, you got Jamal. I mean, we got names too. I think they are the favorites, but not by much right now.
And I'm looking at like a lot of the important additions, and we'll talk about some of those additions. If they're going to be a Super Bowl team, I do think they have some new pieces that could help them get there. You're always a contender when you've got a quarterback like Russell Wilson, obviously. But let's look at what they added. They brought in a new offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron. We'll be able to see what that offense looks like a little bit. We'll get a taste of it today and over the next couple weeks here in camp. But they also added a couple other things. I mean, they traded one of only four draft picks they had for a guard, brought in Gabe Jackson to shore up that position. You signed Gerald Everett, who isn't like a top tight end in the league, but has had more yards over the last two seasons than any individual tight end on your roster. Not only that, but he's also pretty familiar with your new OC, who is his passing game coordinator and his tight end coach in his first season. You've also brought in Dwayne Eskridge, a rookie wide receiver you drafted that could add some serious speed to your offense. I think one of the most interesting things is we're going to find out whether these were the right choices, because there were other choices they could have made. Bump, they could have added a center, they could have added a more expensive cornerback in free agency. So far, when you're looking at just the free agent additions, which a lot of us are going to see on the field for the first time today, how are you feeling like they made out?
I think they did all right. The main thing was finding a corner, right? We didn't really see what Dunbar could do last year. He was injured most of the year. Didn't get, I guess, a full season out of that guy. So what do? You sign Witherspoon. And he's going to be a big question mark because he battled with some injuries with the 49ers. When he was in shape, when he was in tip-top shape, I thought he looked pretty good. And then you get Gabe Jackson on the offensive line. They just did they filled some voids. It wasn't like they went and got the huge name, a blockbuster deal, and pressed the 12s. No, they said, look, all right, well, who's the second-tier guy that's available right now? Let's go and get him. Let's insert him. But the Hawks do a great job of finding those type of talents, right? You find a DJ Reed, you go and get a Diggs. They're usually hit when it comes to that. I'm hoping they do it this year too.
All right, again, I'm looking out on the field trying to spot Jamal Adams for you guys and see if I see him out here. Looks like we got a couple secondary players taking the field. Still a couple like big starters missing, though. Not the entire team out right now. So, again, we'll keep an eye out for you guys. Hey, Bump, what's the temperature of this organization? I mean, when we started the show 10 minutes ago, I said, or 5 minutes ago, I said, hey, what was one of the most important things of the offseason? And you said, keeping Russell Wilson happy. I mean, where's that stand? Where's the team stand right now when you kind of take a temperature check?
I think they're good. I think they're good, man. I when you listen to them talk, they're always going to be positive. They're going to protect the team. That's what Pete Carroll asked them to do, and that's exactly what they do. But I think the rough part is over. It's not March. It's not April anymore. They're back in the camp. I think the temperature is good. Everyone's been going down to San Diego to train with Russell, minus Tyler Lockett, which kind of baffles me. I always wonder why Tyler Lockett doesn't go down there.
It's wild because they have such good chemistry, and they don't really get together in the offseason to practice together.
Yeah, it was kind of weird, but hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's exactly right.
They've been doing a great job with that. So on the outside looking in, it looks like everybody's good. They're ready to go. I'm excited to get the season started.
Let's talk about some of the stakes, though, because if you were to ask, are the Seahawks in win now mode? For the last several years, I would have said yes. Not because anyone was technically on the hot seat. I mean, if they didn't make the playoffs, it's not like Carroll's getting fired. Oh, Bobby Wagner out here, by the way. I can see him with a couple guys. But it feels a bit different following the Russell Wilson news. Now, if you're an optimist, you hear a lot of Russell Wilson's comments and you think, well, I mean, he wants to be here. And if they keep winning, which they always have, everyone will be fine. Everyone just listen to each other. If you're a pessimist, and I've seen some of this reaction, I think a lot of people feel like the stakes have changed, that if they don't win this year, whether, they don't have to win the division, but if they don't get further in the playoffs, and keep in mind they haven't been to the championship since 2015, that there could be a real risk of Russell Wilson not being with you in the future. How do you feel about that?
I think they are in win now mode. I really do. And I think they have to win now and win a certain way. Russell Wilson wants to lead the charge. He sees what Tom Brady's doing. He sees what Patrick Mahomes does, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, these guys are the clear-cut leaders of their team. And Russell should be. You're paying him $100 million a year, right? Not really, but you're paying him all that money. He wants to lead it. So if they do not win at least one playoff game this year, I think they're going to revisit the, okay, is Russell happy? What are we going to do there? And which is okay. I want to remind people, like, everyone doesn't get a Kobe Bryant. You stay in LA for 20 years. Things mm-hmm. happen. People move. Your goals change. You want to try something else. And he's allowed to explore that if that's what he wants. But if they win, they go deep into the playoffs, I think they're good. But it's all about how they win, man. Russ has to lead the charge.
That's exactly right. Spotting Carlos Dunlap out here, by the way. And just, again, for some sights and sounds for everyone, doing some kind of special teams looks right now. You've got Bobby Wagner. This is what I love about Bobby Wagner. And let's talk about some of the storylines, Bump, that we're excited to follow today and heading into the rest of the week. Bobby Wagner, one of those guys, and he's always kind of a leader on the field. He's like yelling from the sidelines all the time, and he'll go out there and kind of lead those guys. One of the guys he'll be leading, but not only that, be playing directly beside, is Jordan Brooks. He's one of the storylines that I'm interested in following, especially if they don't bring back KJ Wright. What are a couple other storylines, a couple other players you're going to be watching here?
Of course, I got to go to the receiver room. I'm going to look at Dwayne Eskridge and see how he's inserted into this offense. He's a fast kid, strong, 195 pounds, can break tackles. I'm also going to look at to see if Jamal Adams has improved attacking the ball out the air. You know, people always knock on him like, look, man, he doesn't cause turnovers. He doesn't get interceptions. That's mm-hmm. not what they're asking him to do, but I would still like to see him improve in that area. And then also, I want to see who's going to be the backup. Is Rashad Penny, man. This is his year. He has to solidify himself as that number two backup, because number 32 is going to need a break every now and then. So those are the three I'm looking at.
I think I'm very interested to see who ends up being that wide receiver three. I know you mentioned Eskridge, and that's a guy you're going to be following. And I can't wait to see. I know he's coming off of a toe or foot injury, and so we'll see how much he's practicing. But I'm curious to see some of that speed in person. When we were speaking with his former head coach, it was all he could talk about, not just his speed, but route running and how much he changed just over the course of his time there. And so I'm curious to see that in person. You've got a big wide receiver room, though. I mean, I'm looking at a roster in front of me. You've you've got like 10 plus guys competing with at least the first three, maybe four spots kind of taken. So you're going to have a guy like John Ursua who could be in a make or break season, a guy like Penny Hart that could be in a make or break season. But the two of them probably favorites over a couple other guys on this list. But don't forget, training camp always that time when you have undrafted rookies that come out and surprise you. A couple years back, you had Puna Ford doing the same, and here he was signing his second contract with Seattle this offseason. Are there any undrafted rookies that you might be watching for?
Man, I've been asking for John Ursua, it seems like, forever now. I really just want to see the dude get out there because I love his game. I love the shiftiness. Freddie Swain, he got drafted late last year, but he made an impact later on in the season as well. I'm always rooting for the underdogs because I was the underdog. You know, right. I was the guy who showed up to camp, and I'm like, man, am I going to make it today? Am I going to get that tap in the shoulder and say, you know, your time here is done? But young guys is young receivers. I know John Ursua is an older guy, but he's young when it comes to NFL experience. So I'm waiting to see if he's going to take that next step and get more time.
Let's talk about the biggest story that anyone's going to be talking about this week, and that's Jamal Adams. You've heard me multiple times in the first 10 minutes of our show saying, I'm looking for Jamal Adams. I don't see him yet, and I don't. I'm still watching for him. But there's a couple big groups of guys. A couple guys have their jerseys skewed a little bit. So right now I don't see him, but we'll see if he's here. We know he's in the building, Bump. How are you feeling about his situation with the Seahawks in that contract?
I feel good about it. I'm not too stressed about it. I think they're going to get it done. I wouldn't be surprised if he just doesn't practice today, but he's out there. But they know that he transformed this defense. This defense looked different when he showed up and Dunlap showed up. And he's a rare talent. He did something last year that no DB has ever done when it comes to getting sacks. And I think the way that they run this defense, the way that they attack, he's a perfect fit for it. So I'm excited. I think it's going to get worked out. I'm not worried about it.
All right. And a quick health update, since that's what we're all going to be tracking in the first couple days here, is Travis Homer, running back Travis Homer, and wide receiver Dwayne Eskridge, the rookie, added to the preseason PUP list. As a reminder, you guys, this does not mean that they're going to start on the PUP list for the season. You're two separate PUP lists. They can come off of this, whereas if you start the season on the PUP list, you're on there for the first several weeks there. So keep in mind, this doesn't mean that the beginning of the season for either of these guys will be affected, but they have been placed on the preseason PUP list. That news just breaking shortly. I'm sure Pete Carroll, who will speak with reporters today, will be asked about it. Look at that running back group. Speaking of Travis Homer, you talked about Rashad Penny. What if he has a breakout season this year? I mean, what do you do with that contract bump?
If he has a breakout season, you got to try to re-sign him. I mean, it's always nice to have two running backs. That's a tough position to play. I mean, you have the football on your hands. You got 11 guys trying to take you down, or you're blocking, blitzing linebackers. You're helping in pass coverage. Oh, there are a lot of things that running backs are asked to do. That's why it's always nice to have a stable. And when you look at the successful teams that run the rock, if you don't just have a Henry out there, you always have a number two guy to kind of switch things up.
All right, and more of the team coming onto the field now. I'm seeing the quarterbacks all together with their red jerseys, and there is number three, Russell Wilson. Also, just I like doing these little updates here, Pete Carroll, white pants, action green long sleeve shirt. Bold choice for the first day of camp. All right, let's get to headline rewrites.
Extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Jake and Stacy.
The Mariners made a pair of trades Tuesday, one acquiring veteran starter Tyler Anderson, but the most talked about one being the trade that sent closer Kendall Graveman to the Astros for Abraham Toro and Joe Smith. What is the real headline?
Now, I want to do the real headline, and, you know, this is killing it right now, but I have to give you guys the update you've been waiting for. Jamal Adams, who we knew was in the facility, is out on the practice field. He's literally, like, I don't know, 20 yards in front of us right now, and no one's officially practicing right now, just doing some basic stuff, but Jamal Adams is here on the field. He's got a hood on under his uniform. Now for the headline. Sorry about that, Curtis. Here's the headline for that trade yesterday for the Mariners. Jerry DePoto might have just lost the clubhouse. I don't know if anyone else saw Ryan Divish's pretty damning article in the Seattle Times. He spoke to a couple Mariners players off the record. They did not sound pleased. But here's what is not lost on me. it's not that guys are being mad that there was a trade. I mean, Kendall Graveman's been traded before. Everyone knows that this is a business. It sounds like what they're really upset about is they didn't feel like Jerry DePoto handled it the right way. Maybe he should have come down and addressed the team. Jerry DePoto separately told reporters, hey, they're trying to make 2021's squad better. And we've seen a separate report that the Mariners are more buyers than sellers. But you've got to communicate that to teammates, Bump.
Yeah, do you though? I mean, if you want to be, if you want to keep guys on your side, I think you do that. But end of the day, this is a business. It hurt me as well because I feel like Graveman was a big part of that chemistry. And you look at the numbers for the Mariners, they don't look like a great team. The thing that they had working for them was their chemistry. These guys liked each other. I think sometimes athletes get in their feelings a bit. You're not Russell Wilson. You're not Aaron Rodgers. You're not Tom Brady. Those guys deserve explanations. Some of these guys just look, man, we pay you to play. Go out there and play. But I can understand where they're coming from. But to me, it's a business transaction. You might not like it, but it is what it is.
Now, you know what I think some of it is, Bump, is that the Mariners, and this can't be pinned just on DePoto, nor just on service, or no one that's been with this organization for just the last, you know, couple years, since we know this stems back to 2001. But the Mariners have lost a lot of good faith with fans. And so if the Seahawks did something like this, even though, I mean, like, if we're being honest, they've had some not so great drafts of late. People have so much more faith in this organization if they were to make a move. With the Mariners, you had an amazing night. A night where me, watching as a viewer, I bought in. I was like, oh, this is legit. Like, I don't think they're not going to win a World Series this year, but they might do it. They might get to a wild card this year because they believe in themselves. It was so exciting. It was palpable if you were there. And then they make this move less than 24 hours later and take the wind out of your sails when you so rarely get that feeling.
Yeah, it was an emotional roller coaster for sure. But here's the thing. They were planning on doing this already. It's not like they woke up and were like, all right, man, we're going to make a move. We're going to trade Graveman. No, this has been in the works for the past few days. The timing of it and where he went kind of just messes it all up.
Now, let me tell you what, Curtis Rogers, before you get to that next headline, you and Jake Heaps, who's out on paternity leave, big jersey number guys, very particular about jersey numbers. Looking at Carlos Dunlap right now in that number 8, it's looking pretty good.
Exactly.
I think you'd be happy with it.
All linemen and linebackers that wear single digits look like the baddest dudes on the field.
You've convinced me. I finally see it now, Curtis.
There we go.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number 2, Simone Biles has officially withdrawn from the individual all-around gymnastics finals one day after removing herself from the team final. What is the real headline?
A couple soft people are upset that the greatest gymnast in U.S. history, who's also a survivor of sexual abuse from the very organization she's representing, is taking a moment to care for her own mental health. That's what this is. I think that what's missing from some of the more negative coverage around Simone Biles is that she's been the face and the most successful member of this organization, bearing the burden of everything that comes along with that for years. This isn't her getting to the Olympics and the pressure of being the GOAT is too much. She's been the GOAT. And she's also had to deal with stuff that I think it's kind of unfair to draw comparisons directly between Tom Brady or other people we consider the GOATs. She's in such a different situation, and that's even just alone, and this isn't the only reason, but even alone with the sexual abuse scandal they dealt with Larry Nassar. She's the lone survivor from that, still on this current Olympics team. I thought she made the right choice, and quite honestly, I think it takes a lot of guts.
Yeah, that was very brave of Simone to do that. No one really knows what she's going through but her. So for people to judge her and come after her, you don't know what she's going through. She is the greatest gymnast of all time. She has all this pressure on her and then all the extra stuff that you mentioned that she had to deal with. You got to take care of yourself. Don't worry about entertaining people and trying to make sure they have an Olympic experience. You take care of yourself, Simone. I'm with you.
Well, I was also reading, I need to pull this up so I can shout him out, but a sports writer did an interview a while back, years back, with Michael Phelps. And Kevin Van Valkenburg, he did an interview, senior writer for ESPN, with Michael Phelps a while ago. And so obviously he sounded off on the Simone Biles stuff. And he said he was really happy that she did that. And he said, I covered Michael Phelps in the 4 years leading up to Beijing, when just like Biles, it felt like the weight of the world was on his shoulders. He'd been open about how close it came to breaking him that he contemplated suicide. Like, it's so much pressure for people. And you have an example, even a couple years ago, of an athlete facing so much pressure that he contemplated. I mean, that's so serious.
Yeah, it's serious. And what people have to realize is, like, football players might go through their stuff and everyone goes through their issues, but this is the world. Like, she is all the eyes in the world are on Simone, and she has to deal with this stuff. I just feel bad for her. I just want people to have some sympathy. Imagine your worst day. Imagine your worst day, and remember, she's a human being.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number three, Dolphins star cornerback Xavien Howard has officially requested a trade. What is the real headline?
The real headline, and this is how Seahawks fans should be reading it, cornerback is available for cornerback needy team. And that's what the Seahawks are. Now, what would you be willing to give up for Howard? Would the Dolphins actually trade with or trade him? I think that depends on, you know, his approach to the offseason. Bump, how do you see this one playing out?
Man, it'd be nice to have that young fellow over here. What do you have, like 9-10 interceptions last year? I mean, he's a baller. But you're right. What are you going to give up? You're not gonna give up a seventh round pick for this dude, sixth round pick for this guy. You're gonna have to give up a big name. So if they can make it happen, I say you go for it. But be careful what you ask for, because one of these big names might be gone if they were to go after him.
See, that's the thing is, Xavien Howard's gonna be a guy that's gonna cost you a lot if you end up trading for him, and the Dolphins are gonna look at your cornerback depth and know. Although I will say, Bump, it feels like Pete Carroll and this team, at least the front office, has faith in the cornerback room right now. Do you?
I do, kind of, yeah. And, you know, I'm going to go, yes, I do. I think DJ's going to get it done. And if Witherspoon can be the guy I saw a couple years ago, I think they will be fine. But, I mean, you got to look at that trade, though.
Well, yeah, and again, we're going to get a look at kind of the depth here. The assumption is DJ Reed and Akella Witherspoon will be your two starting corners, and we haven't seen practice officially yet, so that'll be at 1:30 when we'll get a better look at the depth for that position group in particular. But, Bump, I think both you and I can agree that is the biggest position battle in camp, no doubt. Now, in about 15 seconds, what would you say is the second biggest position battle in camp?
Position battle. I wouldn't even call it a battle, because receivers are set, safeties are set. I would say just what this offensive line is going to look like. You got Damian Lewis, who's moving to the left side of the line at left guard. You got Gabe Jackson coming in. I just want to see how this O-line looks. Can you protect Russell Wilson? But we won't find out for a few weeks, because training camp is nothing but T-shirts and helmets and everyone looking
That's
good.
That's exactly right. All right, it is the Acton's Quality Roof Report. It's wide open at T-Mobile Park and beautiful for a matinee. The Mariners close out their series against the Houston Astros. Yusei Kikuchi on the mound today. New Mariner, Abraham Toro, by the way, also in the lineup. He'll be batting fifth. First pitch is at 12:40, and you guys don't have to go anywhere, because we're taking you right into the Mariners pregame show right now. This is 710 ESPN Seattle.